Once again, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages, you are now tuned into the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dax, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we are going to jump straight into it. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a pretty good episode today. We're going to talk about the U.S. cryptocurrency. Let me straighten my microphone here. We're going to talk about the U.S. digital currency creation put out by the Department of Treasury today. Also, we're going to talk about the home forbearances decrease. If you don't know what home forbearances are, we're going to talk about that. And J.P. Morgan released its earnings today. Very important. We're starting going into our earnings season. Earnings season is based around corporate earnings. So when people say the market is overvalued, the bubble is going to explode, things like that. Ladies and gentlemen, it all boils down to earnings. That's why earnings is so important. Take me, for example. Let's say if I wanted to sell my company or my book series, what's the thing that's going to hold the most weight? The thing that's going to hold the most weight is how much money am I generating? So when you're saying that, we're going to take a look at earnings. That's why earnings reports are so, so important when they do come out. So ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, if you haven't done so, and when you come in, if you're catching this live, definitely say, hey, thank you. Not hey and thank you, but I mean like hey and what's up or whatnot. Tell me where you're from. I always love to see where we get live people from. This is a late episode, but we're going to have a very fun episode. But if you haven't done so, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't done so, go ahead.
Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell icon. Hit that like, comment, and share button.
All right. So the first thing we're going to get into, ladies and gentlemen, the Department of Treasury talked about the U.S. dollar creation. And I'm going to share my screen here, and we're going to read what came from the Department of Treasury. Ladies and gentlemen, today, this is coming from the Treasury, home.treasury.gov, U.S. Department of Treasury. This is not what my cousin said. This is not what my friend said, what my mom, what I heard on the street, things like that. This is coming directly from the Department of Treasury. And you can see this was put out on when? October 13th that I have highlighted. G7 Finance Minister and Central Bank Governance Statement of a Digital Payment. So right here, Washington, the widespread adoption of digital payments has the potential to address frictions in existing payment systems by improving access to financial services, reducing inefficiencies, and lowering costs. At the same time, payment services should be appropriately supervised and regulated to address the challenges and the risks related to financial stability, consumer protection, privacy, taxation, cybersecurity, operational resilience, money laundering, terrorism, market integrity, governance, and legal certainty, amongst others. So here, the Department of Treasury is saying that a digital payment system is essential. I'm just saying digital dollar, but a digital payment system, which they're talking about, quote unquote, cryptocurrencies, they are looking at the widespread because we're already digital anyway. People always say, oh, the digital dollar, will we get one and things like that? I very rarely carry around coins. I very rarely use coins, and I very seldomly have cash. If I do have cash, at the max, I may have $60 on me at one time. Other than that, I'm using most of my transactions are going through my phone, maybe my computer, and if I'm in person, it's probably going to be using my car. So with that being said, the U.S. dollar already feels a little digitized already. So by the Department of Treasury, they're saying, hey, we know that having a digital payment can reduce inefficiencies, meaning stealing money and inefficiencies. It can lower costs. And it can improve the access to financial services, meaning that money can move faster. They are acknowledging that. At the same time, these are their concerns. They believe it needs to be supervised. It has to be regulated. It has to have some type of financial stability, meaning backed by something or whatnot. Consumer protection, meaning if I went online and I use my cryptocurrency or my digital currency and I brought a pair of shoes, how do I know the person just won't rip me off, take my money, never send me the shoes? So that's how you have to protect the customer. So they're looking at customer protection. It can they're looking at privacy. privacy is a good thing, but it's a bad thing when you're trying to regulate. So the government needs to know it's pretty easy to track everybody's money who's in a regular financial system. They're also looking at cryptocurrency. How you know somebody can't, not cryptocurrency, cybersecurity. How do you know somebody can't just break into the account and steal all the money or whatever? Money laundering. So let's say if I'm a drug dealer and I made a bunch of dirty money, right? And I have to clean it. One way people love to clean their money right now is via Bitcoin or cryptocurrencies or whatnot. That's the way people can look to clean their money. So these are some of the concerns that the Department of Treasury is saying. Can some of these, can some of this money be used? A cryptocurrency can be used to finance a terrorism group, a terroristic group, all these other things, right? And I like the word they use down here. I'm going to scroll down here. We're going to look at this word. I want to see, can I find it? I read it earlier. Determining the possibility of a digital currency in particular. Okay, in particular, the G7 underscores the importance of the G7 agenda. A continuing global optimization. It was a word in here that I thought was pretty funny, what they called it. Wow. Let me see. Y'all give me 1 second. Y'all bear with me. The public sector reflect. I'll say the public sector through the provision of a fiat currency and the conducted independency monetary policy as well as it plays a central role ensuring the safety of the system in context to G7, blah, 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 confidence and stability. So they're acknowledging that we are on a fiat currency. So let's see here. They use a word in here. Let me see. Can I find it? The G7. Y'all give me 1 second. I should already highlight this and had it ready for y'all. Okay. Okay. That's what they call stable coins. Stable coins. Okay. So the center says, in particular, the G7 underscores the importance of the G20 agenda to enhance the efficiency of a cross-border payments and to address regulatory and public policy issues arises from a global stable coins and other similar arrangements. Stable coins. I thought that was funny. The heck, stable coin. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is the conversation they're having right now with the U.S. digital dollar. So my question is, if a U.S. digital dollar is created or a central coin is created or a currency for the U.S. digital dollar is going to come about, what would happen to all the current cryptocurrencies like Ethereum, Bitcoin, Ethereum? I can't even list all of them. It's like 1,000 of them. All the other cryptocurrencies that exist right now, what would happen to them if the digital dollar was to happen? Would their value increase? Would their value decrease? Would people say, you know, why would I want to Ethereum when I can go get the digital dollar, right? Because the government's saying that, hey, if we do go to a Department of Treasury saying, if we do go to a digital dollar, we have to back it. For prime example, I have my money in the bank get robbed, it's backed by the FDIC. If somebody steals my money, it's easy to track. I can get somebody involved or whatnot or whatever, but it's very hard to do that in the cryptocurrency world. So in the cryptocurrency world, people are asking the question, what does that mean? What is that going to look like to other people? What would happen? What would happen to Bitcoin? So let me see what you guys and girls' comments are saying as we get into it. I need 1 second here and read some of y'all comments. Thanks for some of y'all coming in tonight. One love. He said, you be running the live shows fast, but we're doing our best to catch ones we can for sure. One love, Lawn Service. Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you for tuning in. I try to catch them. I try to put out as much information as possible, giving you guys and girls new information that you can use and things like that. Lieutenant Lawson said, how do I start buying cryptos? Good question. Now, you have Coinbase is a big site that people use to buy cryptos. I haven't gone out myself and purchased cryptocurrencies, but I know a ETF. There's an ETF that tracks cryptocurrencies. Forgive me. I should have been prepared and had that information for you. It's something like GTCB. Let me see. Can I find it real quick? There is an ETF out there that tracks all of the cryptocurrency. And if I was to... if I was to invest in cryptocurrencies, this would be the way I would do it, because I don't know, when you look at Bitcoin, Bitcoin was just the first cryptocurrency. Now you have Litecoin, you got Ethereum, you got Invesium, this, then you got coins, then you have tokens. You have so many ways to invest, so many different types of ones. So how can I pick the right one? Sorry about that. Y'all give me a quick second. I think it's this one right here, Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. Y'all give me 1 second. I'm trying to find the ETF for cryptocurrencies. Now, you can buy them directly. You can say, screw all of that. I want to have my cryptocurrencies in my hand. You can buy them directly. But if you are an investor into the U.S. market and you want to get into that world, that's it right here. GBTC. That's Golf, Bravo, Tango, Charlie. G as in Golf, B as in Bravo, T as in Tango, C as in Charlie is the ETF that as cryptocurrencies go up, this goes up. As cryptocurrencies go down, they go down, and they track a bunch of them. So because out of the thousands of cryptocurrencies, how, with my little brain, how can I pick the right one? How do I know? And it's my belief, what do I think is going to have to happen to cryptocurrencies? I think that about 90% of them are going to disappear within the next 10 to 20 years. Which ones? I'm not sure. I know I should have my investor show cup, but I left it in my other room. I'm in my office tonight. Miss Destiny, how you doing? Excited to tune in from Sacramento. Thank you for tuning in, Miss Destiny. And Lieutenant Lawson, we got Sacramento and we have Alabama. One Love, I think One Love is from the Midwest. One Love Lawn Services. Antonio Gris said, close to my bedtime. Thanks for putting out informational content, Prince. Antonio, man, appreciate it. I know I'm in the mountain time, so I'm 2 hours behind East Coast. So I know you're out there in Pennsylvania. That is a little late over there, so I could understand. All right. One Love, Nick and Sierra. Yeah, Ohio. I know it was in the Midwest somewhere. So we got Ohio, Philadelphia, Alabama, Sacramento in the house. Oh, Miss Whitney Davis. That's Miss Keon Davis over there. Okay. Grovetown, Georgia. That's my hometown. Waynesboro, Georgia. Not too far from my hometown. Thank you for tuning in. Glad to see you in tonight. Shan from Memphis, Tennessee. Thanks for educating us. No problem. No problem. Cyber defense. We're going to get into that. Max B. That's my guy out there in Washington. All right. Okay, if the central governments are going to start controlling cryptocurrency, does that mean Bitcoin, Ethereum will be crowded out or down outright outlawed? At the end of the day, the Feds wants their cut. My belief is cryptocurrencies are created. If you're just logging in, we're talking about the Department of Treasury, talking about launching, they're doing studies into research, the cryptocurrencies, a digital currency, but they are trying to regulate it in some way. And it's my belief, if they come in and they regulate a cryptocurrency, they're going to give a bad rap. I think the value, my personal opinion, I think 90% of the cryptocurrencies will disappear. All these new ones out there, it's like 1,000, it's probably 2,000. I don't know how many cryptocurrencies companies have written me directly and asked me to promote their cryptocurrency. They've asked me to promote their tokens. I've never taken any one of their sponsorship. If I did, I would let people know, but I don't know enough about them. I'm not smart enough to know everything about them because it took me a decade to earn people's trust, and it'll take me less than 10 seconds to lose it all. So I'm definitely not out here trying to just make some money and, you know, hey, we give you $10,000 if you promote our cryptocurrency. And then I just tell each and everybody out here, go buy this cryptocurrency because it's good and whatever. Then they come to find out it's some type of scam. Then I lose all my integrity behind that. That's definitely not something I'm trying to do. But I believe as the government becomes more involved, I definitely believe that the value of the current cryptocurrencies will decline. So I'm going to put this back on the screen here so y'all can see. This is coming from the Department of Treasury. They're talking about the research and study into cryptocurrencies. Do we know what this currency will be backed by? If it's a U.S. digital dollar, it'll probably be backed by the Federal Reserve. Destiny, I always tell people the U.S. dollar is my belief. This is my opinion. The U.S. dollar is backed by the U.S. military. People love to say, Prince, you are. People love to say, Prince, you. The dollar is a fiat currency. What is it backed by? Shout out to everybody that's in the military, veterans that have served in the military. But it's my belief the U.S., if we lost our military might, our currency will collapse, in my belief. The only reason why China won't call away all of its debt, companies won't come over here and mess with us too funny, is because our military power. If we were to lose our military strength, President Trump wouldn't be able to talk the way he talked. We wouldn't be the number one currency, because around the world, the U.S. dollar is considered to be the most stable. Out of all the currencies in the world, the U.S. dollar is considered to be the most stable. So as you look at it is the universal. It backs everything else. So as you look into the yen and you look into the euros and you look into all these rupees and all these other currencies and whatnot, they're not as stable as the U.S. dollar. So if you think we're bad, everybody else is definitely bad. All right. She says GPTC. Interesting. We'll look into that. GPTC, that is a ETF that tracks a number of, that's just one. It's probably other ones out there. But GPTC is a ETF that tracks a number of cryptocurrencies. And as the cryptocurrency market goes up, this goes up. You can go and buy individually cryptocurrencies, but if you buy individual cryptocurrencies, you put yourself at a significant risk, because how can you pick a proper cryptocurrency when you have like 10,000 of them out there? Where's my lip chap tonight? He said, I need a shout out to Miss Lena, Miss Lynn. Shouts out to Miss Lynn. I don't think I know you, Miss Lynn, but thank you. I know Lieutenant Lawson's out there in Alabama. He's tuning in. So definitely give a shout out to you. Thank you for tuning in. Daryl Walker. How you going? How you doing there today, Mr. Walker? Benjamin Moe. There we go, Benjamin. He said in Florida. How you doing, Benjamin Moe? Okay. Nice to see you on here. Nice to see you. Thank you for checking us out on the late night show. All right. One Love Lawn Service says it's very seldom we have cash on hand. 95% of our clients, 95% of our clients are by card. I'm a cash person. Sierra is more digital. I feel 100% digital will hurt more than help. It's very seldom we have cash on hand. 95%. Okay. So One Love, you're right. As you look at the world, I feel like we're already digitized anyway. I love to tell the story of what my wife did that was pretty creative, in my opinion. So one day she went to go buy something from a store. Maybe it was some type of store or whatnot, right? And when she went to go buy something into a store, she forgot her whole purse. She left her whole purse at home. But she had a phone. She was like, crap, I forgot, left my purse. So what she did was she went on the Uber Eats. She ordered the food for takeout, and since her credit card is linked up to her Uber Eats, she purchased something from the store, from Uber Eats, walked in the store, and picked it up. That itself, ladies and gentlemen, we look at vending machines. Vending machines, who walks around with a pocket of quarters? Who's walking around with dollars? One Love, I understand what you're saying. You're saying, man, 100% digital? I don't know. Remember about 30 years ago, everybody was writing checks. My mom used to write checks all day when I was a young kid. I saw her write checks. I saw her balance a checkbook, but long gone are those days. In high school, I remember them teaching us how to balance a checkbook. Those days are gone. We still balance a checkbook, but not like we used to. Right? So with that being said, the U.S., and when we look at the kids, they're growing up with cards. They're growing up with phones. The new generation is not even going to know what cash really is. Nowadays, all banks are digital. You can open up I can log on tonight and open up and take out a loan within like 10 minutes. Have it in my bank account tomorrow morning. Right? I can send anybody on Facebook $20 right now if I wanted to. Somebody can send me $20. Right now on my YouTube channel, people can, what they call that thing when you donate to YouTubers and stuff like that or whatnot. People can donate to me right here on my YouTube channel or Facebook or whatever, right? While I'm live. I forgot what they call that. But people can do that. So you can see how everything is just digital. You know, I can go online right now. You can purchase my books, have them sent to your house without even touching cash. They can't take your lunch money anymore because now with my son's school, I put money into his account at school. He go to the school, he can spend whatever he want out of his account. So how can you take his lunch money? All right. I can't say your name here. He said, have you looked into Ethereum? I suggest researching it and investing in it ASAP. Yes, I do know of Ethereum, but I'm not a cryptocurrency person. I don't understand it that well. Right. And not saying that I'm not smart enough or whatnot. It just says that, hey, if I just don't believe that 90% of the cryptocurrencies that I see today will be here in 10 to 20 years, especially the dollar is halfway digital. And you can see the Department of Treasury is already the number one currency in the world, is already has been exploring ways to become digital. And I think as they become more and more digital, they may make other cryptocurrencies illegal. Right? He says, amazing games. God bless you. Great show. Thank you. And he's from Philly. All right. We got Philly is in here tonight. Okay. Cash only good to flash on social media. That's almost true. People just use cash to flash now. You know, cash is becoming more useless. So you're right. Destiny says super donate, super chat, or whatever it is, something like that. People can donate straight there, you know, Cash App. Look at the Cash App. Look at the Square App. When I do book signings and I'm at Barnes & Noble or whatever the case may be, I'm not walking in there taking anybody's cash or anywhere the case may be. I walk in, the person, I have a tablet, they swipe, they do what they need to do. That's it. I can print them out a receipt. It's all digital. We're already there, right? So now what will happen to Bitcoin? I believe that, well, it's not Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies in general. I believe majority of the cryptocurrencies will disappear. Some of them will be around, but the Department of Treasury could come out and make other cryptocurrencies illegal. Very risky, but I do think digital, but it could have a reverse effect. Once that digital currency hit, it could make the cryptocurrency market go up. But as the U.S. dollar becomes digital, I think that more people will use the digital dollar. Like, for prime example, why don't I invest in Venezuela? Why don't I invest in Venezuela? Because their currency is not as stable. So as the U.S. adopts the cryptocurrency, and I think we will go to some form of cryptocurrency, we're not going to go to a cryptocurrency. We're halfway there anyway. You look around, you're halfway there anyway. You can buy whatever you need. You can pay your bills online. You can deposit money. You can take a picture of a check and do an e-deposit online. You can do everything you do can be done right here with your phone. Pretty much everything. You can start investing. You can start an investment account, put money into it all online. So we're pretty digital already. We just need to get regulated and supervised and infrastructured. Right. All right. Next thing we're going to get into. Next topic we're going to get into, ladies and gentlemen, home forbearances decrease. Who out there knows what a home forbearance is? Max B, you better know what it is. Destiny, you better know what it is. Who else is in here pretty often that names that I saw that are in here? For the people that commented, I know home forbearances. What are home forbearances and home forbearances and decrease? And what does that mean? So y'all already know what I'm going to head over to for the people that really tune in. I'm going to head over to the Mortgage and Bankers Association. Where are we? All right. And we're going to read this and we're going to see what this means. This is a report they put out today. Right. So, Max B, it's funny what you say, but it's right. He said, I'm going to pay my mortgage on the back end. That is the quote-unquote urban way of home forbearance. But, yes, you're right. So, shares of mortgage home forbearances declined to 6.32%. Essentially, what a home forbearance is, via the home forbearances, this report, this is from the NBA.org. As you can see, this came out yesterday on the 12th. Home forbearances. What a home forbearance is, you know, when you purchase a home, take me for example, I'm in my home office, I'm in my basement right now, and I have a mortgage. With my mortgage, let's say if due to the coronavirus or the pandemic, I lost my job, I couldn't pay my mortgage. So as part of the stimulus package, as part of the CARES Act, what they did was, if you had a government-backed loan, meaning if you had an FHA, if you had a VA loan, if you had a government-backed loan, they put a forbearance, meaning that, hey, this person cannot be foreclosed on or kicked out of their house. They can reorganize their mortgage. So for prime example, hey, I can't make my mortgage payment, but they're going to say, hey, okay, you can't make it now because you're going through a hard time. We're going to reorganize this and you're going to pay your mortgage on the back end, essentially. So this is a way to keep foreclosures from happening. If I worked at Chipotle and I own the house, Chipotle went out of business, I can't pay my mortgage. Now I get foreclosed on. The bank doesn't want foreclosed homes. You shut down the economical system. We learned that in 2008. In 2008, when we had collateralized debt obligations, CDOs, that was people would, for prime example, I would go out and I would sell John a house. He would pay me back, let's say if his interest rate is 3%. 30 years, 3%. I take that up, I wrap it up, and I sell it to Wall Street. Wall Street was investing into mortgages. And everything was fine and dandy until Wall Street didn't realize that the people that were selling them the mortgages, people just started giving anybody a mortgage. They gave anybody a mortgage just so that when they got that mortgage, they can give that mortgage to. So pretty much my whole idea, let's say if I was a real estate agent, I was like, hey, you know what? You work at McDonald's, you make $200 a month. Okay, cool. They didn't even do research into who they was giving the loan to. They were just like, write down how much you make. Oh, you make $5,000 a month. Cool. Yes, you qualify for this mortgage. They want to get you that house fast as possible because they were selling it to Wall Street. The bad thing was Wall Street was taking your 401k money and investing into people's mortgages. It sounded good, but everything was good, but nobody knew the quality of people that was purchasing homes. When people, the mortgage loan, it was a good system until people stopped paying their mortgage. Once people stopped paying their mortgage, that's when people started to default on their loans. We had a bunch of empty houses. People started to, when nobody's paying on their loan, that means the investment has gone bad. And then you just see the cookies start to crumble. That was called CDOs, collateralized debt obligations. There was a high-end way that was created by Goldman Sachs to pretty much have people help people invest. So a forbearance is they're stopping people. So for prime example, if you lost your job out there and you think you're going to lose your home, you can't pay your mortgage, you can ask for a forbearance. If you have a government-backed loan, whoever you purchase your loan from, you can ask for a forbearance. And they'll say, okay, for 6 months or 3 months, you don't have to pay your loan or you don't have to pay your mortgage, but we're going to reorganize your debt and you're going to pay us back on the back end, essentially what Max was saying earlier. So when you follow these, why this is important. So what, Prince? You told us what a home, you told us what a forbearance was. You told us how it ties into it. What does it mean? What this means is the more people that are filing for forbearances, that's an indicator that the economy is not recovering that fast. So when we see a decrease, this gives us the impression as an investor that the economy may not be doing so bad. Because if forbearances are plateauing and starting to decrease, that's letting me know, hey, the economy may be doing good or the future may be doing good. And if the future is doing good, then somebody can purchase a call option. A person can go long. It makes people want to invest more. So many people talk, you know, but in order to turn into a financial professional, notice when I speak to you guys and girls, I'm always coming with the receipts. I'm always coming with reports, and I'm interpreting the reports in a way that should make sense, right? So many people say, oh, the economy is bad, because it's very easy. Availability risk. Availability, you get so caught up with what's going on in your world, you forget about what's going on in the world. Just because you may live in a city like Detroit, you may live in Denver, you may live in LA or New York, and you may see things of going bad in your city, doesn't mean it's going bad in the whole world. So this is a leading indicator of how the economy is starting to do. A leading indicator. So let's kind of read into this a little bit. Let's see what it says. This was released yesterday. The Mortgage and Bankers Association latest forbearance call volume survey revealed that the total number of loans now in forbearance decreased by 49 basis points from 6.81 of service portfolio volume to the prior week of 6.32 as of October 24, according to the MBA's estimate, 3.2 million homeowners are in a forbearance plan. 3.2 million homeowners are in a forbearance plan. Now we're going to see what how they are building this out. This is very important. Don't get too excited. You got to read it, right? The share of loans and forbearances declined across all loan types, with the forbearance program for federally backed loans under the CARES Act. The CARES Act is what stimulus package that President Trump signed in March. So it reached the six-mark month. Many borrowers saw their forbearance plans expire because they did not contact their server. I say again, many borrowers saw their forbearance plans expire because they did not contact the server. Another reason for expiration was homeowners' information needed to determine an appropriate loss mitigation option was not yet placed, says Mike, the MBA Senior Vice President of Chairman Economics. Borrowers with federal-backed mortgages need to contact the servicers to obtain another 6 months to reprieve if they are still impacted by the pandemic. As of now, some borrowers are exiting forbearances without making contact or with a plan in place. Servicers are making outreach efforts to attempt to work with these borrowers to determine the best option for them, including an extension. So now, essentially what he is saying is that in March, some people filed to have a six-month forbearance. And even though they got that six-month forbearance, what they're saying happened is some people have let their forbearances expire. Meaning they have not contacted their server and said, hey, I need another 6 months. Hey, I need another day. I need another week or whatnot. So, yes, we're seeing these things decline. But is it declining because people don't need it? Or is it declining because people haven't renewed or asked for more? Right? That's what they're saying with this report. So they're saying, if you're tuned in right now, you have a forbearance in place. Just know your forbearance is not forever. It was for 6 months. And you need to contact your service provider and say, hey, I need an extension, things like that. So this gives some key findings from September 28th. Total loans of forbearance decreased by investor types. The Ginnie Mae loans in forbearance decrease. The Freddie Mac loans forbearance decrease. The share of other loans, PLS loans in forbearance decreased. So are these decreases happening because people don't need it anymore? Or people haven't asked for an extension? We have to keep an eye on that. All right. So we're glad to see that home forbearances decrease. I pay attention to foreclosures. Foreclosures are a leading indicator. Foreclosures mean that if people are losing their houses, you know, to me, my most important thing every month is to make sure my mortgage is paid. Out of all the bills, out of water, lights, gas, insurance, everything, I want to make sure my mortgage is paid first, right? So The thing about it is, if people are not paying their mortgages and they're foreclosing on their homes, that is a that could be a leading indicator for the economy is headed down. That's why I pay attention to homes and foreclosures, right? Because people use it like a place where they live, right? So that's what we like to do. All right. We got Dervis Smith. Okay, what's going on, Dervis Smith? He said checking in from Honolulu, Hawaii. Okay, we got Hawaii, Sacramento. We got Washington, Ohio. Who else I saw in here tonight? Philadelphia is in here tonight. Florida is in here tonight. Alabama is in here tonight. Okay, cool. Destin said, I can't wait to see this report. Okay, I think she was talking about the forbearance. DR Briggs Sr., how's it going? Love this show. Definitely, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Miss Destiny said, I thought a crash was going to come if it didn't stop. Wow, okay. I'm glad to see the decline. All right. Pete for Life, what's going on? He says, he's out there in Phoenix, Arizona. He said, hey, everybody, Phoenix here. Got to keep it short, driving to work. All right, my brother, keep it up, keep it up. We're just talking about a couple things. We just went over the U.S. digital dollar. See, about we talked about the Department of Treasury creating a digital dollar, and we also talked about the home forbearance seeing a decline. The next thing we're going to get into, ladies and gentlemen, JP Morgan released their earnings. So, JP Morgan releasing their earnings. Why does an investor care about earnings? Earnings are very important because people say, Prince, how do you know if something is overvalued? How do you know the market is overvalued? My number one way is looking at corporate earnings. Are corporate earnings decreasing? Is Amazon making less money? Is Apple making less money? If your stock price is going up, it's like with me. I don't mind paying more property taxes if I'm gaining more equity, right? I don't mind paying more property taxes if I'm gaining more equity. Now, if I'm paying more and more property taxes, but the land or my real estate is not going up, then I may have an issue. So with that being said, I don't mind paying more for a stock if it has the earnings to justify. Is the company, it's simple and easy, guys and girls, is the company making more money or less? Look at our largest companies in America, S&P 500. Is Google making more and more money? Is Apple making more and more money? Is Netflix making more and more money? Is Facebook making more money? Is Amazon making more money? Just to name a few. JP Morgan, are you making more money? Are you making less money? Right? If you are making more money, that's why I pay attention to corporate earnings as they continue to be released. That's why it's very important to pay attention to corporate earnings as they're released. So with that being said, without further ado, let's pull up JP Morgan's earnings. If it's a publicly traded company, the earnings are available to everybody. So some people say, Prince, where did you find the earnings from? It's available to every investor. You can go to the SEC.gov, or you can go to the you can go to their investor relations. All right. JP Morgan Chase reports third quarter 2020 net income of $9.4 billion. Or 2.92% per share. That's their earnings per share. So they're saying they had a net income of $9.4 billion. So this is why it's so important to follow corporate earnings, because this is how you can see if stock prices are going up but corporate earnings are going down, then I may have an issue. Also, by reading one company's earnings, it could let you know the value of another company. For prime example, Apple, if you read Apple's earnings deep when they released their last earnings report, it kind of gave you an indicator that Zoom was going to do well without saying it. It gave you an indicator that Zoom was going to do well without saying it. So let's see what they released today. All right, let's look at their 8K. I'm pulling it up on my other screen here. Okay, 8K report. No, that's not what I'm looking at. See if that 10Q is in here. Sometimes they're releasing in a 10Q, sometimes it's releasing an 8K, but I'm gonna find you. I know you're in here somewhere. Okay, so they put out 2 10-Q reports. They put out a bunch of stuff today. All right. 8K report. Are you in here? Okay, third quarter results, earnings release. Okay, same thing I already got. All right. So JP Morgan earnings report. Let's take a look here. So let's see what Jimmy Dimon said. Jimmy Dimon, he is the CEO of JP Morgan. Shouts out. No, I didn't go to JP. Yes, I've been to. No, I didn't go. I didn't go to JP Morgan headquarters on Wall Street. I have been to Goldman Sachs. Never been to JP Morgan. I've been there to the building, but I never been inside. I didn't know anybody at JP Morgan at the time. But last time I was on Wall Street, I did know somebody at Goldman Sachs. So I did go there once. So Jamie Dimon, he's the CEO of JP Morgan. Let's see what he has to say. JP Morgan Chase earned $9.4 billion of net income on nearly $30 billion of reserve, and we maintain our credit reserves at $34 billion, given a significant economical uncertainty and a broad range of potential outcomes. So they're saying they had $34 billion in reserve. They made $9.4 billion in net income, and they have $30 billion in revenue, right? We further strengthen our capital and liquid positions, increasing the CETI capital to $1.98 billion, 13% CETI ratio, up 60 basis points after paying out the dividend. And they're saying that they're giving you the stability of what they're doing, right? The corporate and investment bank continues to be a big driver of the firm's performance, with market revenue up 30% and global IB fees 9%. CIB and commercial banking continue to attract retain deposits. Given our strong client franchise and our clients remain liquid. Now, this is pretty much saying their investment banking, these are the companies that take companies public. So as you see these big IPOs, you saw Snowflake go public. When Snowflake went public, the underwriter was JP Morgan. So as these big companies go IPO, JP Morgan benefits and profit. To take a company public can cost upwards of $1 to $5 million. So they make a nice little undercut by investment banking. One day I want to go public on something, be a part of something going public. Attracted and retained deposits, franchise. Okay, now here's the key. Right here what it says. Right here. To give you an idea, JP Morgan, to have an account with JP Morgan, you need about $10 million. I know Goldman Sachs was about $10 million, but they have large, large, big clients. Their clients are people like McDonald's, Nike, wealthy families, things like that. Assets and wealth management generated a record revenue and net income and saw strong inflow into long-term products. Asset and wealth management generated record revenue and net income and saw strong net inflows into long-term products. What does that mean? What does that mean, ladies and gentlemen? Asset and wealth management generated. So this is telling you that people, they saw a strong inflow. That means more people are investing and they're putting their money into long-term products, right? So when I see that, you're talking about this is big money. You're talking about billions and billions of dollars are going into long-term products. Doesn't mean it's going into stocks, but that means to show that people are investing. People with big money are investing, right? So I look at that. Their assets under management is $2.6 trillion. JP Morgan has trillions of dollars in asset management. And it's telling you right here, AWMA, assets under management, AUM of $2.6 trillion, up 16%. Average loans up 13%. Average deposits up 23%. Average loans up 5%. Average deposits up 44%. Gross investment banking revenue up $84 million. I like to see something up, right? Now we're talking about here are the hard numbers. Net income reported on a basis of $29.1 billion, $33 billion, $29.3 billion in the third quarter, second quarter of 2020, and 2019, respectively. Results for JP Morgan, net revenue and management. So third quarter, they made 29, all right? Third quarter, they made 29 billion. Second quarter, 33 billion, 30 billion. Okay. So last year, this time frame, they had 30 billion in net revenue. They have about 29 right now. So they're pretty much at the same. And keep in mind, JP Morgan was at $200. They was trading up towards $200 before, almost 300 before COVID-19 hit. So they was at $300, but now they're down to 20. Now they're down to 100 and something bucks, about 100 bucks. So when you look at 29,000, when you're looking at $29 billion, the net revenue is still looking pretty good, right? Look at their net income. Look at the net income. Last year, third quarter last year, they had $9 billion, right? This year, they have $9.4 billion. So they actually made more money this quarter, this time of the year, last year. Earnings per share last year was 2.68. Earnings per share of last year of this year is 2.92. So earnings per share has grown. Net income has grown. Let's take a look at JP Morgan stock. What was JP Morgan stock? What's today? Today is April 13. What was JP Morgan stock price this time last year? Let's take a look. Pull it up here. Let's go back over a year ago. Last year on October 14th, JP Morgan was $116. Now they're trading for $100. So last year, now they're making more money, but trading for less. How do you explain that? This is how people utilize earnings to predict future growth, right? So let's scroll on down here some more. This is how you can find things that are undervalued. Things that are trading below is value. So when you look at it, you say, well, last year you made less money, but your stock was 16% higher. Why is your stock falling, but your earnings are going up? This is how people find, you know, vice versa. Some company got horrible finances, but the stock continues to go up. That's when I can look at something that's potentially being overpriced. Right? So this was their press release they put out today, releasing their quarterly earnings. All right? It's JP Morgan's quarterly earnings. Right? See, let's go public, Prince. Yes. It's one of these days I'm going to go public with something. I haven't figured it out all the way, Destiny, but I'm going to figure it out one of these days. Something, I got to figure out exactly what I want to do in future. Got to be something I like, something that I want to do, something I want to be involved with, whatnot. You know, I definitely looked down that path. I think it's running about for a smaller company, it's looking like $1 to $5 million, and it can take somewhere to 3 to 5 years to get done. So, yes. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you guys and girls got something out of the day. Let's do a quick recap. Hopefully, y'all enjoyed the show. Y'all give me a thumbs up if you like the content. We talked about the U.S. dollar, the U.S. digital dollar put out by the Department of Treasury. The Department of Treasury put out there, continue to do research. They're looking at the possibility of having a digital dollar, and they spoke about some of the issues they were having with creating that digital currency. My question was, okay, if they create a digital currency, what would happen to Bitcoin and other currencies, right? It's my belief that 90% of the future of the currencies that we see today will disappear. I believe a majority of them will stay around, but when the dollar comes out, the dollar is probably going to be backed by something. The dollar is probably going to be more transparent because right now, cryptocurrency is good for hiding money, not paying taxes or whatnot. So you run into the legal political risk of the government could come out and say, hey, if you got a cryptocurrency, it's illegal now. The next thing we talked about was forbearances. We tuned into the Mortgage and Bankers Association. They follow the study of forbearances. I'm following foreclosures very closely because if I see more and more people foreclose, that could be an indicator of a bad economy. As less and less people are in foreclosure or in forbearance, that I use that as a leading indicator of the economy. Some people say, oh, things are bad, things are horrible. But I look for economical indicators, unemployment numbers, Bureau of Labor Statistics, all these type of resources, all these type of reports to verify what I think or what I may feel, right? And the next thing, JP Morgan released its earnings today. You're talking about one of the largest investment bank in the world released its earnings. If their earnings were starting to decline, if they were seeing less and less money, then I would be worried about the economy. That's why I pay attention to JP Morgan earnings. So as they reported more and more money, net income, the stock went down about 1% today. They're trading 16% less today than they were last year, even though they're making more money this year. So when you look at why earnings are important, because I look for a story. Companies I'm invested in, I want to see if you're making more and more money. Are you retaining more earnings? Are you going to make more money for the future? What is your idea of what you're doing? All right. So hope y'all got something out of that. Hopefully this episode was good to you. Hopefully you took something away from this. If you haven't done so already, hit that like, subscribe, comment, and share button. If you like the content and you want to support me, I always tell people, don't donate to me. Support me. Go out and get the entire book series of Wesley Learns. It's the world's first children's books on financial, on investing, credit, and insurance. So investing, credit, insurance, as you're learning yourself, pass this down to your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews, or whatnot. It doesn't make any sense for me to turn over my son's custodian account with a bunch of money in it, and I haven't taught him anything about investing, credit, insurance, real estate, taxes, right? So those are kid-friendly ways to introduce your kids into that today. If you want to support me, go support that. That's available everywhere. Also, you can catch this on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, anywhere you can catch a podcast as well. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I appreciate each and everybody that's out there. Miss Destiny says, great. Thank you for tuning out there in California. But until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe, peace, be safe, I'm out, and thank you.